This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
The NFL draft is this week, and we'll let you know about the handful of Michigan prospects who could get selected. The basketball rosters continue to take shape. We've got the latest on the transfer portal. Meanwhile, the football program continues its success on the recruiting trail. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here. Tuesday afternoon, April 25th. And yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to start with the NFL draft. And you got to know what question I'm asking right away, because I ask it every year. So I hope you got your number ready.
I'm terrified of being wrong for a third straight year, but here we go.
We've got our over-under for number of Wolverines that will be drafted. Draft starts Thursday night, prime time, first round. Friday is then just the second or second and third?
Friday would be second and third.
Second and third, and then they finish it all up on Saturday?
Correct.
All right. Rest of it through seven rounds of drafting. Last year, how many Wolverines were taken? Just five?
Just five.
Okay. But in previous years, we've gotten up to double digits, I feel like. This year, setting the over-under at 6.5. What do you got, Aaron McMahon and Ryan Zook?
You want to go first? I'll go first. Your number's too low. I would have set it at 7.5, so I'm going over 6.5.
Yeah, I'm going to say seven players get drafted, so I will also take the over. But I mean,
I'm exposed yet again.
Well, last year didn't you set the number when we thought we thought it was low, but it still ended up going under because only five players got drafted, guys like Hinton and Hawkins and some other guys didn't get drafted that we thought were going to get selected.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't remember what the number was last year. I say usually when we do this, I think it usually sails over. But I tend to think I have a good idea of this, you know, after spending several hours, like boring, especially this morning. I spent like 4 hours this morning, and the story is up at MLive.com. It's the full breakdown of the Michigan guys eligible for the draft and where they're kind of projected and where they're sitting currently. But I do think Michigan should get seven guys drafted this year, and we'll probably get into at least a handful of them here in a minute.
Yeah, so I mean, my thoughts, and I was going off of Aaron's, you know, post to a certain extent here, was DJ, here were my locks. DJ Turner, Mazi Smith, Luke Schoonmaker, Oluwatimi, Mike Morris, and Ryan Hayes. Now, calling a couple of those guys locks is maybe a stretch. Maybe there's only four locks there. And those last two I listed, maybe not locks, but I feel like they'll get drafted. Morris, just his size and some of his production, at least last year. And then Hayes, just the reputation of Michigan's offensive line, I feel like he'll get drafted. Then I had, there's anybody else, obviously. That's where I draw the line, that Ronnie Bell, does a team take a kicker and go with Jake Moody? I mean, there were other names you had on there as well that I just, Joel Honigford or Brad Robbins, someone like that. But I just don't think any of those guys are going to be drafted. But you know, I thought maybe one of them could be. That's why I said it at 6.5. You're obviously a little more bullish on one of these, one or two of these guys. Than I am.
Yeah, I totally agree with the list you gave, the six guys you mentioned. I do think it drafted. I would add Ronnie Bell to that list. Okay. I don't think he'll go early. Probably you're looking at round 6 or 7. But I just got to think, you know, his given his success at Michigan, the tape that's out there, he had a really impressive Senior Bowl. So I think a lot of NFL teams got it up close and kind of personal look at him. Now, do I think he's going to be a star at the next level? Probably not. He's got a lot of work ahead of him. He's probably limited to being a slot receiver at the NFL level. Now, the one area where I think he can do some damage and have some success is in special teams, returning punts or kickoffs or whatever team wants him to do. But I would add him to the list, and that would be 7. Mm-hmm. And then the one other kind of
wild
option here, is wild card is Jake Moody. I do think there's an avenue there for him to be drafted. Most consensus folks have him as the number 2, I think, kicker available in this draft. Now, they're not saying he's number 1, but they think he's number 2. So, and we've talked about this in the past. Kickers are always, they're wild cards. You never know if they're going to be drafted, if they're not going to be drafted. And it really goes for all special teams specialists. I mean, remember Cameron Cheeseman a few years ago, long snapper got taken. I don't think we expected that. So it really comes down to, like, who's available at the time, what teams value and what they need. Because if it gets down around, 5, 6, 7 and a team really needs a kicker and Moody's still there, or maybe they rated Moody ahead of whoever their number one kicker is, they go and get him. So I do think there's a chance at least that Jake Moody is taken.
One of the biggest surprises for me, I was looking at some 7-round mock drafts today and the one by NFL.com didn't have Mike Morris going at all. So I'm like, I mean, it's, considering where he was at the end or midway through last year, I know he had the injuries late and then he had a kind of a poor performance at the combine, but you would think that with his body type and his production this past year without having anyone else kind of like Aiden Hutchinson had Ojabo and vice versa. But like Morris didn't really have that second fiddle last year. And he still led the team in sacks in limited time or limited games because of injury. So I still think he probably gets drafted, but I was a little bit surprised where I've kind of seen him ranked in the last week or so. I know The Athletic had him as a 7th-round pick as well. So a lot of – in the 7-round mocks, a lot of 7th-round projections for these guys. So at that point, I'm like, all right, I'll say most of them get drafted, but there's probably not all going to get drafted. So that's kind of where I got settled in on 7 picks. I feel like either Ronnie Bell, Hayes – Olu, Jake Moody, and Morris. I feel like 2 of those guys probably might not get drafted, and we get at a number of 7. So honestly, it's hard to predict these late rounds, but that's where my head is at this point.
You mentioned Mike Morris, and can we talk about him for a second? Because I wrote about him, I think, last week at this point. There's a lot of mystique about him, like mystery about where he's going to end up. And Ryan, you brought up a great point, because there are some folks that think he could go 3rd round, and there's some folks that think he could go late, like 6 or 7, like you said. There's a point, I think, toward the end of last season, where Mel Kiper had Mike Morris in his 1st round. And obviously, it's a huge gap there in terms of time and everything else. But what really hurt Mike Morris was his performance at the combine, because you mentioned the season he had last year. It was it was very productive. He was named Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year. He looked good at times. He was obviously injured in the final few games, and that was kind of preventing him from playing in the bowl game. Or he played in the bowl game, but didn't do much. He didn't play in the Big Ten title game. So in the big games, he didn't play. And then you throw in the 4.95 40-yard dash at the combine, 28.5-inch vertical, which isn't great, just a 22 rep on the bench. He didn't test well. And I think that's really hurt his stock. And, I asked Mel Kiper about Mike Morris like last month on a draft call. And, he said straight up, he's like, I don't know. Most of these guys, he's got a grade for. Like, he can tell you what round or which range – they'll go in. They may not be a 2nd round pick, but maybe they're a 3rd or 4th round pick. He thinks Mike Morris should go anywhere from rounds like 3 to 6. He couldn't give me one. And I think that seems to be the consensus among most draft analysts at this point on Mike Morris, because the upside is you got this guy who is productive on the field. He can get to the quarterback and disrupt things in the passing game. And then you've got other folks saying, well, he's not as fast as he looks. He's not a real true edge rusher. He's too big to be. He's listed at 6'5", 275. He's not quick off the jump. So maybe we're going to wait to draft him. So he's probably going to be the most fascinating Michigan guy, I think, to watch this weekend.
If you're an NFL team, though, you would think that you would take into account more of his tape from the early in last year and just base off and kind of look at his ceiling there and like, hey, look what this guy can do when he's healthy. I mean, obviously, we saw when he tried to come back late in the year. I mean, he was a microcosm of himself. Like, it was, he had no explosion, could not get off blocks, and he didn't play much because I think you could see he was injured. And you have to wonder how, if he was fully healthy, if he is even fully healthy at this point. But if you're an NFL team and you're like, hey, if we can get him in the facility, get him back to 100%, we got to like what he could potentially offer when he's healthy. So yeah, it will be fascinating to see. And I feel like he should be drafted, but seeing some of the grades on him lately, it's like, maybe he'll have to just latch on somewhere as a free agent instead of hearing his name called, but we'll see.
Who's likely to be the top Wolverine drafted? I think it's interesting because it's a team where the best players are back, right? So it's like, you know, if you think about, you know, the stars of Michigan football last year, you know, I mean, it would have been easy 2 years ago to know Aiden Hutchinson. But like this year, right. I think if you just ask a casual Michigan fan, who actually left that would be the best? And who is that player this year probably?
It's really a toss-up there, and there are two names here that I think could go first. DJ Turner, a name we've been hearing more and more during this draft process because of his combine performance. He ran the 40-yard dash in 4.26 seconds, best of the year, best since like 2011, I think, or something like that. It was really, really good. He jumped to very 30.5-inch vertical. He tested exceptionally well, and I think it really improved his draft stock from like a second to third rounder to a first or second rounder. Name has come up now in first round mocks, not consistently, but we're starting to see more of it. So it's either going to be him or Mozzie Smith, who again has been a borderline first round prospect now for a couple of months. They like what they've seen on film from him, being that kind of nose tackle run stopper. But that's kind of where it ends for him. You know, that's where I think kind of separates him from the other top defensive tackles in this draft, the Jalen Carters and the like. So Mozzie Smith or DJ Turner are going to be are definitely going to be one of the first names off the board. It's just a matter of what order. I could see both of them being taken in the first round. I could see both of them being taken early in the second round. I think the more likely scenario here is one of them is taken late in the first, one taken early in the second. If you have me put money down on it, I'm going to say DJ Turner, just based off the speed and the ability, and he was productive this past year. But it wouldn't shock me if Mozzie Smith is. So to answer your question, DJ Turner and or Mozzie Smith, they're both could go in the first round. They both could go in the second round.
Yeah, talk about variance. I mean, literally, in a lot of mock drafts, both of those guys are projected anywhere from, I mean, just outside the top 20 to down. I saw Turner or Smith in the 60s for one mock draft too. So I don't know. It's tough to tell. I would have to probably go with Mozzie Smith just because I feel like he's more of a sure thing as far as someone who will be productive at least early on. I mean, he might not be as flashy as Turner later on, but you kind of know what you're getting in Mozzie Smith, a guy that can stop the run, plug the middle. Turner, you love his speed, and that I'm sure will attract some attention from NFL teams, but I think there's more question marks surrounding him as far as his size and how he'll hold up against some top receivers in the NFL. So it could be 50-50, but I guess at this point I'm leaning maybe a little bit more towards Mozzie.
Getting back to Jake Moody too. I mean, I looked, so one kicker taken last year, one the year before, three the year before that, and then like four punters last year, one punter the year before, two punters the year before that. Some guys might be combo guys, I guess, but so I don't know. That's maybe more about who those available players are, but you're not the top ranked kicker. I don't know. Hard to necessarily see you get drafted, but we'll we'll see. And he doesn't have that huge leg necessarily. He showed off a little more, you know, ability to hit from longer distances this past year. But I don't know. You got to really, really like a kicker to use a draft pick on him. But we'll see. And Michigan has a streak of first round draft picks. Yes, I remember seeing that as well. What is that?
Yeah, so I think 4 years straight now they've had a first round pick. They had, in fact, two last year, as we all know, mm-hmm. with Aiden Hutchinson, Daxon Hill. So that is in jeopardy, I guess you could say. It's mm-hmm. as we said, we don't know if either one of these guys will go in first round. I can tell you for certain that none of the other Michigan guys have a shot getting in the first round. So yeah. You're looking at it's going to be Turner or Noah Smith or nothing here on Thursday night.
We can't talk NFL as well without talking about Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets, immediately elevating the J-E-T-S, Jets, two Super Bowl contenders, and relegating Ryan Zook's Green Bay Packers to an also-ran in the NFC North.
Hey, no, it needed to happen. I'm ready to move on. Still not very high on Jordan Love, but hey, at least he can kind of see what he can do this year and then make a decision after that. So love that they moved up a couple spots in this year's draft and got mm-hmm. some extra draft capital. And I hope he plays like 66% of the snaps just so the Packers can get that first round pick next year too. But I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, he'll have a good team around him, but it also is New York and it is the Jets. So I don't know, maybe they'll find a way to kind of blow this thing and it'd be like the Broncos with Russell Wilson and it just blow up in their faces. But at least they didn't trade as much away for Rodgers as the Broncos did for Russ.
Exactly. I mean, it's been the missing piece for this franchise for a while. And last year they would have been a solid playoff team with even competent quarterback. So to get a MVP caliber guy is huge. Just needs to be good for a few years. Don't need to be pulling the Tom Brady and playing well into your 40s. Just two or three good years, and I think the trade will be viewed as a good one for the Jets. All right, we got any other NFL draft stuff, or we can move on to some hoops and recruiting and some other Michigan news. We're good. All right, here we go. Basketball, I mean, I'm calling it a revolving door with the men's program. And the latest player to go out was Greg Glenn III on Monday. If you're like, who is that again? I understand. He was a freshman. He only played in a few games, a total of 11 minutes. So that's like the trend now. He was a top, I think he was like 124 or something in the 24/7 composite in his recruiting class. Like if you're anywhere near, four-star guy and you don't play as a freshman, more than likely you're gone. And that's what's happening with him. So Greg Glenn, Florida native is in the heck is going on here? Sorry about that. Is in the portal. It's been, like I said, there's the number. He is the third player to enter the portal from Michigan. Isaiah Barnes, who's already chosen a new school. Tulsa, Hunter Dickinson, who has not yet, is the third. They've lost two guys to the NBA, Kobe Bufkin and Jet Howard. Another one, Joey Baker, could have maybe petitioned for another year. Well, he definitely could have petitioned for another year. Whether he would have gotten it, I don't know, but he decided to go pro instead. And three players have come in through the transfer portal. And you just got to imagine there's more on the way, right? Because there's open scholarships. You don't want to leave those open. Jalen Llewellyn could fill one. He's the guy they brought in last year as a grad transfer, the point guard who got hurt early in the year. But then where else do you go? Do you try to shore up that center spot with another guy? Because you only have one really right now. Do you look for, a kind of a true power forward type? There's a guy in Tennessee who would fit that mold who's in the portal right now. You seem to have good depth at the guard position now. You kind of got those spots filled. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where they go, but I could see them bringing in another player or two. And being a transfer portal team, which is, it could go either way. I mean, there's no just like building a team through the high school ranks for the most part. Like I can give you examples. You had the Final Four last year, San Diego State, four key players were transfers, including, three that were in their first year with the program. Miami had a few, UConn had a few, Florida Atlantic had a few. You know, Missouri had six guys who were in their first year in the program as far as transfers. Kansas State had eight or nine, including six in their first year. And, you know, Kansas State went to the Elite Eight. Missouri went from 12 and 21 to a, you know, NCAA tournament team. But for every example like that, there's one or two that it didn't work out for. You know, Texas Tech, Georgia, LSU, Washington, Georgetown, like the list goes on of teams that brought in three, four, five, six, seven transfers and had really terrible seasons. So I don't know. Michigan starting from, you know, they're not trying to build this thing from the ground up. They had one setback year where they didn't make the tournament this past year, trying to get back to it. And yeah, they have to do it through the portal because they don't have enough bodies otherwise.
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast nowadays, right? When teams lose a lot of guys, you either do it one of two ways. You bring in transfers or you wait it out with the high school recruiting classes. And that tends to take a little bit longer, especially nowadays in college basketball where, you know, it's one and done. So, Juwan Howard really has no other choice. And you've got to kind of reload, reignite it and see what happens. It will be interesting, that's for sure. I want to know what's the latest on Hunter Dickinson. Where in the world is Hunter Dickinson these days? Do we know?
Kentucky, right now. Yep. Kansas, he's seen. Kentucky, he already went to Maryland and Georgetown. So yeah, he's being wined and dined and going to the, you know, some of the top programs in the country. And he'll have his pick. And you know, you'd think he's going to see what Oscar Tshiebwe does at Kentucky. If he comes back, then there's really no need for Hunter to go there. But Kansas is, I mean, he seems like the perfect just plug and play. And, you know, that program can be a national championship contender. You know, Maryland, Georgetown, maybe not as much, but closer to home. So, it'll be very interesting to see where he ends up. Big Ten released its matchups, at least for next season today, men's basketball. Maryland does not come to Michigan, which is just a travesty if somehow Dickinson ends up there. But that's to be seen. He's kind of kept it somewhat quiet, you know, hasn't released any, you know, finalists or anything like that. I mean, I think you know what his finalists are. They're the ones that he's visiting. So, hasn't set a commitment date or anything like that. He talks about it on his podcast, you know, once a week, but that's about it. So we wait and see. But yeah, the men's team continues to add to the portal, as does the women's team now. They've got three players coming in, you know, as well. So looking for reinforcements for them after, just to kind of keep the momentum going in that program. But they lose players. You got to add, because like Aaron said, you know, it's one of two ways to do it. But like when you lose people prematurely, you can't really fill it with recruiting right away. I mean, you're going to have open spots then. I mean, Juwan can continue to look to 2024, but like the 2023 kids are already spoken for. So like, if you want to have a full roster this next season, it has to be through the portal. So, and they're getting mostly guys who would be done with eligibility after this year, unless they want to use the COVID year. So it's not like they're getting, you know, freshmen in the portal that are, you know, going to be part of the program long term. That's not really what they're looking at here. They're looking at guys to come in and fill a need for maybe one season and, you know, see how it works out. So football recruiting, let's see, I'm trying to think where we left off and who's come in since then. But you know, Ryan, you probably have a better idea than I do. What is the latest with Michigan football recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, we're recording on Tuesday afternoon, and by the time you guys are listening to this, Michigan could have two new commits in their 2024 class. I mean, they already have a top three class right now, and one of them is a four-star tight end from Rochester Adams, Brady Priesthorn. Top 60 guy who would be a massive add for them, and also a four-star defensive lineman from Connecticut, too. So they're expected to announce today. We'll talk more about it next pod. I mean, I feel like with the portal, the Michigan football portal transactions are probably the biggest thing going on at this point with the football team.
Yes. Well, absolutely. I mean, what is, it wasn't surprising necessarily to see some of the names that went in, But just the timing of it, I mean, the, you know, the season ended obviously a while ago. You know, maybe why now? I think, Aaron, you did remind me about the, that the portal does close for a certain time, reopen, and will close again soon. Is that, that's got to be part of it.
Yeah, portal reopened on April 15th and closes again on April 30th. So okay. It actually reopened over a week ago. And at right away, you didn't hear anything about Michigan guys leaving. So I thought maybe they're going to be in the clear this time. And then, you know, yesterday rolls around Monday and you hear the names. So it got a little, I think it got a little bit more surprising as the day went on. The first name we got was AJ Henning, obviously wide receiver, punt return specialist. A guy who was obviously involved with the offense quite a bit the last couple of years, was never really prolific. I think he was, you can make the argument, he was probably a little bit more productive on the special team than he was on the offense. But nonetheless, he is out the door. He was quickly followed up by safety RJ Moten, who I think was a little bit of a surprise just because he is a starter. I mean, he started, I think, 15 games. He's been highly involved. You know, he was involved, he started the year last year as a safety. The issue as the season progressed, he kind of fell out of favor, just kind of lost his role. It essentially became a three-man rotation at safety. And then by the end of it, you know, by the end of the season, by the time the playoff rolled around, he was practicing with the linebackers and wasn't really playing at safety. So it almost seems like he kind of lost his job. And keep in mind, Michigan just wrapped up spring practice, so these guys tend to know where they stand more so than they did coming in. I got to think that the spot maybe just wasn't there for him. Rod Moore is back. Makari Page is back. You got a couple of younger guys, Keon Sab, that they really like, and they're kind of Zeke Berry that are really progressing. So it just sounds like kind of a lost spot situation. Then the final one, who I thought at least was the most surprising, linebacker Nakai Hill-Green, who we spoke to after the spring game. He had just come back from injury after not playing at all last year for dealing with a soft tissue injury. Practiced this spring, playing the spring game. Talked about all the additions at the linebacker role and him being 100% healthy and getting ready to go. And then all of a sudden he says he's transferring. Not only did he announce that he was transferring last night, but he announced his destination within like an hour or two afterward. He's heading to Charlotte where Biff Poggi is the head coach, former staffer. He's got some, he was his, Biff was his high school coach in Baltimore at St. Francis Academy. So there's an obvious connection right there. He's got a couple of other former teammates there. Ryan Osborne, former analyst at Michigan, is now the defensive coordinator. A lot of Michigan connections there at Charlotte. He's obviously going to get an opportunity to play right away. Probably will slip in there and be a starter immediately. So it makes sense. I'm just a little bit surprised given the fact that we've been talking about how deep the linebacking room was, how many guys they have there now, how healthy they were. He was expected to be a part of that. I mean, I don't know if he would necessarily have been a weekly starter, but he certainly would have pushed for a starting role. But nonetheless, Nakai Hill-Green is off the door now too.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, none of those guys really surprised me too much. I guess Nakai a little bit just because, I mean, I did speak to him for quite a bit after the spring game, and he sounded really rejuvenated, being healthy again. And a lot of the players spoke how much of a leader he has become, even when he was out last year because of injury. But when he announced he was going to Charlotte, it's like, all right, that makes sense. I mean, he can reunite with Biff Poggi there and probably play a ton there. He's probably going to be a key member of that defense. As far as Henning goes, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't transfer heading into last year. I mean, the writing was kind of on the wall for him after his sophomore season, too. I mean, he just didn't play much on offense. He never emerged as a down-the-field threat. I mean, I can't remember how many – I don't know if he caught any balls more than 5 yards down the field during his time at Michigan. He was more of a gimmicky type of guy on offense on those sweeps or reverses and stuff like that. His impact will be felt on special teams a little bit, but I'm sure there's other guys on the team that could fill that role. And and Moten, I think I was just looking at Pro Football Focus. It says he didn't play any snaps in the TCU game, which kind of is like, all right, he only played 23 snaps against Purdue. His snap count really started to plummet late in the year as McCarty began to emerge and along with Rod Moore. So, and like Eric mentioned, there's some younger guys, highly recruited guys that got their feet wet a little bit last year and will probably be the surging up the depth chart and pushing for reserve roles this year. So why not go somewhere where you can play more and get a established starting role before you head to the NFL draft after this year. So it doesn't surprise me. And I hope that personally, it kind of sucks that all three of those guys were pretty media friendly and gave some pretty good quotes and were kind of consistent guys in the media when they were healthy. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see where they end up, but not no surprises really to me.
RJ was kind of caught in between positions, safety and linebacker, as you saw going back and forth. So he's, in a way, he was out of position, kind of stuck, and he's just not a fit for the Michigan defense. So,
he was originally recruited to play Viper, too. So,
right. Makes sense.
All right. Well, we'll have full coverage of all of this on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.